वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। Today is the 12th day of the Gita Jayanti program, and the chapter for the day is chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita is named the Bhakti Yoga or the Yoga of Devotion. Swamiji has spread the message of the Bhagavad Gita throughout the world. In particular, Swamiji has given a special significance and focus to chapter 12. In fact, chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita has a very special place in all the Gita ashrams. Before commencing any work, we always recite chapter 12. Even now, during the ongoing Gita Jayanti Yajna celebrations, we recite chapter 12 before reciting the chapter for the day. Devotees have asked Swamiji, why do you stress on chapter 12? What is so special about this chapter? And Swamiji's reply was, it is the shortest and also the simplest chapter of the Gita. The Sanskrit verses are easy to understand and very sweet because the chapter is full of devotion to the Lord. That is indeed true. We find that most can very quickly and easily recite the verses of chapter 12. In fact, over time, many can recite the chapter by heart. Given the importance and also the familiarity of the chapter 12 to Gita Ashram devotees, I have drawn heavily on Swamiji's discourses and his explanation on this chapter. We all want to be loved and liked. A father wants his son to love him. A husband wants his wife to love him, and vice versa. A master wants his servant to obey and respect him. So in the same way, the Lord too wants us all to love him and become his devotees. But there's a difference between devotion or love to man and devotion to the Lord. One is worldly, while the other is devotion to God. Devotion to God gives us strength and paves our way to salvation or liberation. Worldly devotion binds you, but devotion to God frees you. There is pain in worldly devotion. There is happiness in devotion to God. There is worry in worldly devotion. There is joy in devotion to God. Devotion to worldly objects is the cause of downfall. But devotion to Paramatma elevates and takes you to a higher level. There is only one God, and therefore there is only one Dharma, and we are all children of the same God. We are therefore in reality members of one big family, and there should be peace and happiness all around. But why is this not happening? Every one of us has some problems and challenges that we face from time to time. Some of these may be minor problems, or some may be major problems. We all want solutions to our problems. When we fail to solve our problems, we turn towards the Almighty. For instance, we may go to the temple and say, we'll break 100 coconuts if we are cured of an illness. Or we go to the temple every week and do archana to get His grace to pass our exams. Swamiji said, we are all very good in making deals with God. We say, hey Krishna, please help me get this promotion and I will donate 1% of my increment to you. That's the commission you are prepared to pay to the Lord. So we do acknowledge that we can only overcome some of the challenges we face by the Lord's grace. Krishna delivered the Bhagavad Gita to Arjun more than 5,000 years ago. In chapter 4, Krishna tells Arjun, I have actually given this knowledge before. The first to receive this knowledge was the son. And then, over time, this knowledge got lost. Krishna says, Arjun, because you are my devotee, I am imparting this knowledge to you again today. Dwapar Yuga was coming to an end and Kali Yuga was about to start. Krishna knew the knowledge of the Gita was of utmost importance to mankind, especially in this Kali Yuga. Using Arjun as a medium, Krishna has given the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita to all of us. So the day that Krishna gave the discourse on the Bhagavad Gita to Arjun is celebrated as the birthday of the Bhagavad Gita. Our Gita Jayanti celebrations are based on that date. Compared to then, the need for the Bhagavad Gita is thousands of times more today in this age of Kali Yuga. We all accept that we need God's grace to face and overcome the many challenges as we go through our lives. Question is, how do we get His grace? To become devotees of the Lord, there are five things we need to know. 1. What is bhakti or devotion? 2. When should we do bhakti? 3. Why do bhakti? Some people say, whether we do bhakti or not, we will die anyway. Those who do bhakti also die, and those who don't do also die. So why waste our precious time and energy on it? 4. Whose bhakti should we do? And 5. How should we do bhakti, or what is the method? So simply put, remember 4 wives and 1 husband of bhakti. What, when, why, whose, the 4 W's, and 1 how. So the first question, what is bhakti? Some people go to the temple to pray. Some go to the Gurdwara. Some go to the church. They go to all these places of worship, but may still not experience or feel any devotion to the Lord. They also pray in different ways. Some sing out loud, while some pray quietly or chant mantras. Even then, they may not experience or feel any devotion to the Lord. They do not know what devotion or bhakti is. Krishna has explained bhakti or devotion very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita. What is bhakti? Krishna says, fix your mind on me with faith. Once you fix your mind and intellect on me with faith, you will then be able to do my bhakti. Whether you sit or stand, it does not matter. It also does not matter whether you go to the temple or church or any other place of worship. The important thing is, give me your mind and intellect with faith. Krishna has repeated this message throughout the Gita. Just like a mother who keeps having to remind her children again and again, please do your homework, please study hard, tidy your room, almost like a broken record. So Krishna is also reminding us and telling us again and again, fix your mind and intellect on me. Give me your mind. It is only with faith that you attain God. Otherwise, you cannot. Having faith or Shraddha is very important. Swamiji has given a very nice example of Shraddha. There was a man by the name of Ram Singh who spent his whole life killing and stealing. On top of that, he had also killed 106 people and he was wanted by the police, but they never managed to catch him. In fact, the police were scared of him as he was a notorious thug. One day, Ram Singh thought, I have become old and I am not as strong as I was before. If the police catch me, they will put me in jail and torture me. So perhaps I should now start praying to God and maybe He can help me so that I do not get caught by the police. He went to a guru and said, please tell me how to pray and have bhakti for God. I am here to serve you. The guru recognized Ram Singh as he had seen his wanted posters put up by the police. The guru thought, if I keep him here and someone reports on him, the police will come here and not only would they arrest Ram Singh, but may also arrest me. So to get rid of him, the guru gave Ram Singh 2 dried bamboos and said, take these bamboos with you and go home and keep them till they become green. When they become green, come back to me and I will teach you about bhakti. After Ram Singh left, the guru thought to himself that when Ram Singh figures out that the dried bamboos cannot become green, he will come looking for me and might beat me up. So the guru decided that he would leave his place the very next morning and go elsewhere so that Ram Singh would not be able to find him. Poor Ram Singh left with the dried bamboos and started walking and kept walking till late night. While he was walking through a jungle, he heard some voices and noticed that there were 2 people behind a tree and they were discussing something. He overheard one of them saying, we must rob the village tonight. I have already poured kerosene all around the village and we can burn the whole village. Everyone will be burnt and if anyone tries to escape, we will shoot them. The other guy said, I will not do this, as what is the point of killing the poor people? Let us just go to the Seth's house and loot him. The first guy said that if you don't go by my plans, I will have to kill you first. They started arguing with each other. Ram Singh overheard this conversation and thought that the whole village will be burnt and many people would die. I have to save them. So he took the dried bamboos in his hand and threw them at the men's heads. They were shocked, and because of the impact of the hit, they fell and died. Ram Singh thought that with Guru's kripa and grace, if these two dried bamboos can become green, and my previous sins, including my 106 murders, can be forgiven, what is another two murders? Also, with these two murders, I would have committed 108 murders like a mala. Anyway, the man died and the village was saved, and Ram Singh continued to walk on. As he was walking, the moon came out, and under the moonlight, he saw that the bamboos had become green. He quickly turned back and said, I must go back to the Guruji. When he reached the Guru's place, he knocked on the door. From inside, the Guru asked, who is it? He replied, I am a disciple, Ram Singh. Guruji thought, oh dear, why did I not leave the place immediately instead of waiting to leave tomorrow morning? Ram Singh must have realized that the dried bamboos cannot become green. Now he is going to beat me up. The Guru opened the door and Ram Singh immediately fell at his feet and put the green bamboos at his feet. He said, Guruji, the bamboos have become green. Now please teach me about bhakti so that I may attain God. The Guruji lifted him and embraced him and said, Son, who can teach you bhakti? God himself has taught you about Shraddha or faith. In chapter 9, Krishna has stressed the importance of faith if you want to realize the Supreme Lord. Doing service for everyone without a motive is important. So killing the two thieves to save hundreds of villagers without any personal motive or benefit was not a sin. But if there is greed or for personal gain, even when we do a good deed, it's not considered sattvic. Krishna has given the answers to question 1 and question 2, what is bhakti and when to do bhakti, very clearly in verse 2 of chapter 12. Those who fix their minds on me with faith and worship me ever steadfastly. Swamiji used to say, I ask people, how do you do bhakti? Some say they go to temple, some do havan, some meditate, some do jap, and so on. Swamiji said that is good and should be done. My next question to them is, do you do this every day? Some said yes, but sometimes we skip going to temple due to illness, or we cannot find time because of work or just too busy. So Swamiji said, whether you go to the temple or not, you must fix your mind with faith on the Lord. That is bhakti. So if a place does not have temples, churches, or any places of worship, does this mean people there are not able to do bhakti? The most important aspect of bhakti is to fix the mind on the Lord with faith. When should we do bhakti? Some say in the morning, some say in the evening, and some say in the afternoon. Some say 3 times a day, some say 5 times a day. What does Sri Krishna say? He says in verse 2, Nitya Yukta Upasate. That means all the time, ever steadfastly. If that was not the case, Krishna would have said, Kabi kabi upasate and not nitya yukta upasate, meaning sometimes only. He did not say that. Krishna said nitya, all the time. So answers to question 1 and 2 together tells us we must fix our mind on the Lord all the time. Next question is, why do bhakti? That's question 3. If we are going to do something, we must know what the benefits are. Businessmen want to know the returns on their investment. Similarly, we want to know, what is the return on my investment in cultivating devotion to the Lord? Sri Krishna knows that and he gives the answer to that question in this chapter. Sri Krishna says in verse 7, I speedily rescue my devotees from this ocean of death-bound existence. Sri Krishna uses the word Nachirat here, which means immediately or without hesitation. It may take us time to snap our fingers, but it takes no time at all for Sri Krishna to rescue his devotees from this ocean of death-bound existence. Sri Krishna is always at the service of his devotees. In fact, if you look at Sri Krishna, he is always standing, ready to run and serve his devotees. In chapter 9, Sri Krishna has said, My devotees are always thinking of me. They offer all their actions to me. I fulfill their needs. I protect them in every way. There is no setback for my devotees. My devotees are never destroyed and never perish. na me bhaktya prayashyati, in chapter 9, verse 31. Sri Krishna has given a very high status to devotees. Krishna says, "My devotee is my pearl. I walk behind my devotees. Why? Because the dust rising from their feet purifies my crown. I am always at my devotees' service because they worship only me. That means they rely on no one else but me. It becomes my duty to take care and protect my devotees. Just like a baby who depends totally on the mother takes it upon her to take care of her baby both as a duty and out of love." We know that God has come in many forms to protect and save His devotees. For example, He burst from a stone pillar as Narasingha avatar to protect and save Prahlad from his father Hiranyakeshipu. We are also familiar with the story of Draupadi and how Krishna came to her rescue. When Draupadi was being disrobed by Dushasan, she cried out for help. She turned towards Pitamaha thinking that he would help her, but he did nothing. Then she turned towards Dronacharya and her Maharati husbands, but they all turned away. She realized that when in trouble, no one comes forward, not the elders, not the gurus, nor the family. We need to depend on ourselves. She then held on to her sari, but Dushasan kept pulling the sari. After a while, Draupadi realized that even her efforts were not enough. In this world, only the Lord could help her. As a last resort, Draupadi called out Hari. She had just uttered the first syllable, her, and Sri Krishna came to her rescue. In fact, much later, Draupadi asked Sri Krishna, "Why did you take so long to come to my rescue?" He said, "I did not take long. You took your time in calling out to me. I was ever ready to help you." The Lord wants us to do good and wants the best for us. That is why, using Arjun as a medium, Sri Krishna keeps telling us again and again, "Connect your mind to me, be my devotee." In this chapter, Krishna gives the same advice in verse 2. "Fix your mind on me, always worship me, endowed with supreme faith, such persons are the best among the yogis." So now we know what bhakti is, when we should do bhakti, and why we should do bhakti. Next question 4 is, whose bhakti should we do? At the end of chapter 11 in verse 54, Sri Krishna says, "Arjun, become my devotee and you will be able to know me, see me and become one with me." Krishna also says, "Arjun, you have already seen me and know my power and glory in the 10th chapter and in the 11th chapter. Now become my devotee. You will attain me." The last verse of chapter 11, verse 55 states, "He who performs all actions for me, to whom I am the supreme, he, my devotee, has no attachment and he is free from malice towards all beings, reaches me, O Pandava." When Arjun hears this, he wants to become the best devotee. So in the first verse of chapter 12, Arjun asks Krishna, "Which type of devotion is better? Worship of the manifest form or the unmanifest? Tell me, Krishna, which is better? Whose bhakti should I do?" The Bhagavad Gita says there's only one God. The one God has many aspects and forms. In chapter 10, Arjun had asked Krishna, "Tell me how I am to know you and in what aspects and forms are you to be known?" Krishna replies that there is no end to my manifestations. I am the beginning, the middle and the end of all beings. However, for your benefit, Arjun, I will tell you my prominent glories. He then goes on to mention these prominent glories in chapter 10. Arjun then became curious and asked Sri Krishna if he could behold his cosmic or divine form. Arjun's curiosity is understandable. If someone describes something at length to us, it arouses our curiosity and the next thing we may ask is, "Do you have a picture or photo of it?" After all, a picture paints 1,000 words. Arjun had heard about the various aspects and forms of the Supreme from the Sri Krishna himself. Yet he was not satisfied. He wanted to see the divine form too. So in chapter 11, Sri Krishna shows him his cosmic form of Virat Roop. So to Arjun's question, which is better, devotion to the manifest or unmanifest form, Sri Krishna without hesitation praises the worship of the manifest. Krishna then goes on to elaborate that the devotees of the unmanifest also attain him, but their path is more severe. It is very difficult to worship the unmanifest, and there are also some prerequisites to be able to do that. What are these prerequisites? In verse 4, Sri Krishna says that the devotee who worships the unmanifest has to have full control over his senses and has to see everything with equanimity. He must also remain engaged in the welfare of all beings. So Sri Krishna is not saying that devotion of the unmanifest is not good. However, this method has a lot of prerequisites and is a more difficult path. Sri Krishna says, devotees of both the manifest and unmanifest are dear to me. These days when we want to go somewhere, even if we know the way, we still use Waze. Why? Because we want to reach our destination in the shortest time possible. In the same manner, Sri Krishna here is telling us that worship of the manifest form is the easiest route to attain Him. If we see God in everyone, we will love everyone and we will have no hatred towards anyone. That is the best devotion. The whole world is the Lord's manifestation. And the energy that is working is the unmanifest form of the Lord. Without the manifest, there is no unmanifest. There is no sugar without sweetness. And without sugar, sweetness does not exist. They are two sides of a coin. The fifth thing we must know about devotion or bhakti is how to do bhakti. So we have gone through four questions pertaining to bhakti. What is bhakti? When to do bhakti? Why we should do bhakti? Whose bhakti should we do? And now question 5 is, how to do bhakti? Sri Krishna repeatedly says in the Gita, I am easily attainable by the devotee who constantly remembers me. In fact, in chapter 7, Sri Krishna has said, it is very difficult to find a true devotee with a pure soul. So Sri Krishna is saying, I am easily accessible, but it is hard to find such a devotee. In this chapter, Sri Krishna tells us there are many ways to serve or worship me. Whatever method suits you, use that method and you will attain me. It is not a one-size-fits-all. Sri Krishna says, 1. First, offer your mind and intellect to me. If this is difficult, then follow yoga or practice or Abhyas Yoga. If that is not possible, act for me. Whatever you do, do it for me. Understand that you're doing it for me. If this is not possible, renounce the fruits of all actions. He has given us these four broad methods. We can use any of these ways and we will attain Him. So how do we constantly remember God? How can we achieve this? Sri Krishna says, you must do Abhyas, a constant practice. He has mentioned this in chapter 8 also. He says, with constant practice, you will attain me. Sri Krishna has assured us that with steady and regular practice, the mind can be controlled. One method of Abhyas Yoga is to cultivate a habit of chanting names of the Lord or the Guru Mantra. There is great power in reciting the Lord's names. In fact, it is said that the name of the Lord is even more powerful than the Lord Himself. Hari Se Bada Hari Ka Naam. Reciting the Gita, for instance, chapter 12, every day is something that we should all practice. As we do this, our minds become attuned and subconsciously starts repeating the Lord's name. Does this mean that we should not do anything else? No, it only means keep the Lord in your thoughts regardless of what you are doing. Just like a mother always remembers her baby despite doing her chores. Sri Krishna says, do all actions for my sake. If you cannot do that, then renounce the fruits of all actions. Put simply, renounce all actions to the Lord. When we do that, the fruits of those actions are then up to the Lord and we do not suffer any consequences of our actions. Swamiji gave an example of a cashier in the bank who handles a lot of money every day. At the end of the day, the cashier leaves the money in the bank and goes home. The cashier is not interested on how much money was withdrawn or deposited in the bank. The cashier is also not worried about the interest rate or returns on the money, as it does not affect him. Why? Because he knows that the money does not belong to him. Similarly, Sri Krishna is our banker. Whatever we do, offer it at the feet of the Lord. We are not responsible for the fruits of our action. One day the cashier got angry with his son and slapped him because he had taken some money from his wallet. Why did he get angry? The cashier said, because this is my money. Losing it upsets me. Money that is taken from the bank does not affect me as it is not mine. When we renounce the fruits of all our actions to Krishna, we can quickly achieve peace of mind. Why? Because we are now no more anxious of the results of our actions. Whatever will be, will be. The outcomes or results do not concern me. They are for Sri Krishna and not for me. My satisfaction comes from putting my best foot forward and doing the best I can, because I am doing it for Sri Krishna. So in verse 12, Sri Krishna says that renouncing the fruits of all our actions is not only the simplest path, but also the best path. Krishna then goes on to explain the qualities of devotees in this chapter. From verses 13 to 19, Krishna describes 39 qualities of a devotee and says, those who possess these qualities are my devotees and are dear to me. Sri Krishna says, my devotee has no ill will or hatred towards anyone. My devotee is everybody's friend and thinks of everyone's welfare. My devotee is compassionate, kind, free from attachment and does not have an ego, does not ask for honor, is even-minded in pleasure and pain, forgiving, free from envy, fear and anxiety, and is contented. The whole list of qualities is spelled out in the chapter. Swamiji has said, do not get worried by the long list of qualities that Sri Krishna has mentioned. Just take any one quality that you like and emulate that quality into your life. Through that one quality, you will acquire all the other qualities. The first quality of a devotee mentioned by Sri Krishna in verse 13 is those who have no ill will or hatred towards anyone. In the first verse of chapter 9, this quality has been mentioned by Sri Krishna as a prerequisite to obtain sovereign knowledge that would free one from evil. It is easy to see the bad in others. Swamiji said, we all have a tape recorder within us. When we see bad in others, even if it is one bad thing in each person we meet, at the end, the tape recorder within us would have accumulated thousands of bad things or deficiencies. Similarly, when we see good in others, we also inculcate that. So let us see only the good in everyone, and by doing this, we will have a storehouse of good qualities in us. We must remember that whatever we receive is through the Lord's grace and based on our karma. We get what we deserve and not what we desire. We have gone through millions of births, and today we are reaping the sum total of all our karma. There is no need to get jealous or envious of another person. Swamiji said that if we were to make a statue of the Gita, chapter 12 would be its heart. We must recite it at least once a day. A person who reads chapter 12 and understands or implements even 1% of what is in the chapter, we can say that person has got God in his clasp. Samjho ke Bhagwan ko usne mutthi mein le liya. Then, whatever you ask God, He is always with you. Chapter 12 has so much power. It is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti se Shakti, Shakti se Yukti, or Yukti se Mukti. From devotion, we get Shakti, or divine power. From Shakti, we get Yukti, or skills, or art of how to live in this world, and how to imbibe the teachings of Gita in our lives. From Yukti, we get Mukti. Once we practice this in our lives, we will surely overcome all obstacles and attain Sri Krishna. Hari Om Tat Sat.